Welcome to the Hallelujah House, a home for Christian creatives. It's in the living room where you can get comfortable and listen in as childhood friends Liz Hammond and Tammy Carter Adams discuss the latest faith-based podcast. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, kick off your shoes, and get ready to join in on the conversation.
Welcome to the living room of the Hallelujah House. This is Tammy Carter Adams, and I'm alone today, so I am so thankful you're coming in and keeping me company today. If you are on our YouTube channel, you're not just in the living room. You're watching Brandy Fair create a vessel as you're listening to this teaching. Or if you're on our podcast online, then you're just hearing the audio, of course. But this is the room we've designated for podcasts, and our new format is the living room. So I welcome you in. Let's get settled in. And I want to talk to you about choosing your word for the new year. And I want to tell you, maybe not talk to you about how to choose your word, but I want to talk to you about how I chose mine. And I'm going to tell you a story, and we're going to title this one called Water, Water, and More Water. So before we get started, I want to take it to the Father in prayer. So if you'll just pray along with me. Father God, I just thank you so much for this new Hallelujah House for Christian creatives. And I pray, Lord, that you just bring not just artists, but bring people, all of your people in to the Hallelujah House and help them get inspired and to create with their hands and to tap into that part of themselves that you put in them when you design them, because we are all creative, being made in your image. I thank you for this word you've given me to deliver today. And I pray, Lord, that that whoever needs to hear it, that you will make sure that it gets to them and that you will draw them to you, draw them to your living water. We love you and we thank you for all of our blessings. And thank you for everyone listening today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's get started. I want to talk about, first tell you how I came up with the title Water, Water, and More Water. And if you're wondering why I pronounce water the way I do, I don't know. My daughter harasses me about the word water, and she's like, it's not water, it's water. What? I can't even say it the way she says it, but however she says it, I'm so used to saying water. Okay, I'm from Virginia, North Carolina line, Eastern Seaboard. Okay, so that can probably came from there. But anyway, moving on. I want to tell you what has happened to me. I've noticed when God places something in my physical world over and over and over again, that I tend to go to him in prayer and ask him. I don't see it as from the enemy. I see it more from a perspective of maybe God is trying to show me something. And so what I'll do is I'll start to pray about that thing. And I'll pray if it's from God that he reveals to me what it is he wants to teach me through it. And then I'm in the word, and he tends to always show me something. And he gave me some serious conviction over the Christmas, after Christmas, when I started to pray about why water kept showing up. And I'm going to give you some of the situations. I'm not going to tell you all the situations that water has shown up in my life. But I'll start with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we have all of Jay's family come in. We had over 30 people under roof, and they come in on the day before Thanksgiving. Everyone spends the night, and then we celebrate Thanksgiving all day, eating and socializing and catching up. And then they spend the night Thanksgiving night and typically leave Friday afternoon. That is our family Thanksgiving here, or at the farm where we have a farmhouse. And so we had all those people under roof, and the night before Thanksgiving, I noticed the water was just trickling. And I'm like, oh no, because we have water problems, with our pump a lot. So I went to my husband and I said, look, we're going to need water for Thanksgiving. And it's only trickling. So he agreed that he would wake up early before everyone else before dawn and go out to the pump and see what's going on and try and adjust it. So the next morning, true to his word, he goes out at 5 a.m. and he's outside trying to fix the pump. And I hear a rainstorm, a torrential rainstorm coming down. And I'm thinking my poor husband's out there probably drenched trying to fix this pump for everybody. And then I realize that is not a rainstorm. That rain is coming down in my house. And so I look and I see it is torrential in my closet. And we had just got like custom wood shelves in there. And I'm just, oh my goodness. So I go running outside and I notice the ceiling is bulging in my bedroom and I run outside and I say, Jay, stop whatever you're doing. It's raining in the house. So he just turns off the water, runs inside. And I mean, sure enough, there's just water everywhere and in several places flooding the house. So what happened, the pressure valve on the pump went from zero pressure to the sudden burst of pressure and it burst a bunch of our pipes. So we were left, needless to say, not able to take a shower Thanksgiving night. We still had a great Thanksgiving and everybody was fine and we switched to paper plates. And so it wasn't the nicest Thanksgiving, but it was great. We had a great time and had good food and we still were able to do everything but take showers. So we had a plumber come out the next day and it was costly. We had to redo all of our pipes in our house and with copper fittings and do some patchwork on the ceilings and all of that. So that was our first water issue. Second, another one was, you know, a dog we all love at the farm. Everyone that's on the farm loves this dog. He's our favorite. His name is Franklin. And Franklin started filling up with water. And now he's on a water pill. But you know, his heart is given out on him. And so we're praying for him all the time for some miraculous healing because he is just my sweetheart over there and everyone loves him. And then back at home, my dog Bear. He started drinking water crazily. My dog Bear was almost 18 years old and having a little heart issue and everything normal with his age. And he's torn a hip. And so, you know, he's been on painkillers for years. But anyway, all of a sudden he started drinking water, I mean, all night long for a couple nights in a row. And Jay finally had it and he lifted his water bowl up on the counter and he goes to the live Christmas tree and he's lapping water in that. And Jay almost knocks the tree down. Balls are falling and crashing and he's all tangled up in the lights and he's just kind of looking at us all pitiful. And we knew it was time. I mean, he was just walking the floors all night and peeing everywhere. And we knew he was suffering. So December 14th, we set the date, dreaded that morning, taking him in, and we put him down. And that was Christmas. So that was a painful Christmas, seeing our sweet boy die. But moving forward, another flooding situation was the farm flooded. The river overflowed and flooded up onto the farmland. So that was another water situation. But and there was several more. So of course I am, God, what is going on? So I start praying about it in my quiet time and asking God to reveal to me what it is he's trying to say to me personally about the water. And in my Bible study, coincidentally, but not, there was the woman at the well. And it's a very familiar story, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus is tired and he approaches her and she's, you know, she's not Jewish and he asks her for a drink and she's shocked that he asked her for a drink of water. And she tells him, but you don't have a vessel. And I'm going to read that verse. And you can find this scripture if you want to follow along on John 4. And we're going to start with verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away in the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, when I read that, I can tell you that I knew instantly what God was trying to tell me. I knew instantly he was convicting me, because all throughout the holidays, I had gotten so involved in decorating. I mean, you ought to have seen this place. And then, you know, not only decorating this house, but the farmhouse, and then the Thanksgiving event. And then, you know, I moved on to that, and I had to get a dress for a black tie event. And I was so stressed out, because black tie events make me completely a basket case. I just don't like black tie events, honestly. I'm comfortable in my holy jeans and paint splattered jeans, and most of you out there probably understand that. But I was so focused on finding a dress that fit me right. I'm going through menopause. I've gained some weight. I've lost a waistline, and I'm like, I just don't look fit on anything anymore. So, and then scrolling social media, and then there was the consumerism. Oh, got to get the perfect gift for everybody. And I got caught up in that. And then making sure that the website was pretty, right? So I jumped through hoops and hoops and hoops. And my mind focus was on all these things and not on Jesus. And in fact, when Christmas came along, we normally hit high baby Jesus. I normally just keep them up on the mantle behind the garland. And as Christmas morning approaches, that's our tradition is we place the baby Jesus in the manger. The kids used to fight over who was going to place Jesus in the manger. And that morning, and they still fight with Bella, like they try to make it a big thing, you know, the honor of placing Jesus in the manger. And that morning, I could not find baby Jesus. I did not know where I hid baby Jesus. And we looked and looked and looked. And then finally I was like, well, let's just pray and thank God for Christmas. And, you know, I'll find him later. And I did not find him until I took down all my Christmas decorations. I'm ashamed to say I had hid him. We have a big Bible verse from Jude up on our mantle that talks about you always be the Lord our God. And I hid him. I tucked him behind that sign, probably because so I'd remember where my Lord was. And did not remember where my Lord was. And in my life, I wasn't remembering where my Lord was. And I was neglecting my relationship with the Father. And so God was sending me water after water after water. And I do believe it was to remind me that I'm dehydrated. I needed to fill myself with the living water. And this woman, in this Samaritan woman, she was the same way. See, she wasn't content. She was looking. I imagine she was looking for a man to fulfill her. She needed a man to fulfill her. And some of you may be looking for a husband out there. But don't expect that husband to fulfill you. Because the only one that can fill you is Jesus. The living water. Or if you're looking for your kids to fulfill you, or if you're looking for wealth to fulfill you, we look for everything to distract us, to keep us busy, keep us rolling and going. And that's me. I'm always on, you know, minute to minute, got to be doing something. That is my personality. That's the way my makeup is. But God was saying, you've sat in quiet time, but you really haven't been quiet. You've been picking up your phone, being distracted, and I've gotten these scarce, you know, special minutes with you. And how are you going to lead a ministry when you're not focused on me, when you're not saturating yourself in my word, when you're not filling yourself up with the living water? And I want to point back, I just noticed this. If you knew the gift of God, the gift of God. That is the true gift of Christmas. The gift of God was Jesus, and he is the living water. So I want to read on. The woman said to him on verse 11, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. But she was wrong. Christ did have a vessel. He had her. But she didn't know he was talking about her just yet. And let's go on to verse 13. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Do you have that spring of water in you? Do you have it? Because if you did, if we do as creatives, if we spend time, you know, hydrating ourselves on the living water, our creativity will blossom. It shows up in your creativity and it shows up in your life. People notice it in you. So I want to point out something. I love how seamlessly the Old Testament fits in with the New Testament. And she mentioned this is Jacob's well that they're sitting by. So I want to take you back. And God showed me this when I was really looking at this. I tend to like look at the little details. And I was thinking, where is it talking about Jacob's well in the Old Testament? Because I don't know whether you're doing the 1 year Bible reading, the chronological. I dove into that this year. And I am so enjoying it. If you're not doing that, I would highly encourage you to read through the Bible in a year in the chronological. There's a chronological Bible that tells you day by day what to read. And by the end of the year, you have read through the entire Bible. And that's one of my New Year's goals is this year to finally, you know, read through the Bible. I'm sure I have read, well, I'd like to think I've read every passage in the Bible at some time or another, but just to read it in a chronological order, I think gives you a greater understanding of how the placement of things occur. So here we are. I want to go back to Genesis 29, and it talks about Jacob at this well. And I want to see if you can see the foreshadowing of Jesus, of an event in of Jesus's life in this passage. Okay. Let's start with verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. Did you catch that? The stone was rolled away over the large mouth of the well, and the shepherds were the ones that rolled it away and watered their sheep. We are the sheep. We are Christ's sheep. But this is a reflection of the tomb. And Jesus says that I am the living water. He is in that tomb. The tombstone was rolled away. And he is the living water that wellows up inside of us and brings in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, eternal life. See how it all fits together? Don't that get you so excited? I can't tell you how excited I get whenever I see the Old Testament and the New Testament. And oh, it's so beautiful how God brings it all together. So I hope you like that too. I hope that whet your appetite for a little more. Okay, so let's go back to John 4. Okay, and God says, all right, let's go to, let's see, the water that I will give him become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then the woman says, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Why didn't she want to come there to draw water? Why did she go in the heat of the day? Let's point this out. Because she is a woman that was known to have had several husbands, and she would live with a man, and she probably didn't want to be around the other women. The other women probably didn't like her very much. If I was to take a stab at that, That's why she was there during the heat of the day to get her water. And then Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And this is when she reveals that she has no husband. And he says, you're correct. In fact, you've had several husbands and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And then she realizes, how in the world did this man know so much about me? And then Christ tells her, Father, seeking such people to worship him. Such people to worship him. You know the people he wants? He wants those that are thirsty. He wants to bring thirsty people. He wants to bring thirsty people to him. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Have you been filling yourself up with things that don't matter? I mean, look at the world, how silly we've all gotten. Look at social media. I mean, I am not against a laugh, I will say. I love funny stuff on social media, but when that becomes a distraction from the things that are important and the things the Lord wants to show me, that's when it becomes a sin. It's a sin. I'm going to call it what it is. And I've had to confess that to the Lord. I had to confess that I'm so sorry that I took your birthday and I filled it with things that did not matter. And my prayer, no wonder he wouldn't let me find Jesus, right? And my prayer this year is that I stay hydrated. And how about you? How about you? Are you going to stay hydrated? Can I encourage you to spend time in God's word? Spend time abiding in him. And abiding is not Bible study. Bible study is great, but Bible study is a jumping off place to get into abiding. And abiding is when you wander off into the scriptures and write down what he tells you. Write down what he tells you. And that's journaling. And I journal, and I've got books. I've got many years of journaling books up in my studio on my shelves. And that is a legacy I'm leaving my kids. My kids are going to see sins I've committed. Oh, maybe I should blot those out. But they're going to see how God spoke to me about them and turned me around. And you all are listening to this one. So, but if it can help somebody, I am happy to deliver the message. So I'm going to end by saying, what is your word? What is your word this year? Do you have a word? If not, I hope you have a Bible verse. And it's not that you're only going to focus on that one scripture throughout the whole year, but that one scripture can keep you on track. Hydrate is going to keep me on track. It's going to remind me, did you fill yourself with the living water this morning and throughout the day? Make sure you drink your water, Tammy. Make sure you drink your water. All right, I think that's about it. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this session. And look, if you like it, click like and subscribe. That really helps the Hallelujah House, helps all of our team of artists who are putting out this material. And then it just serves as an encouragement to us. And if you haven't stopped by the Hallelujah House, our new website, come in the door. It's at www.thehallelujahhouse.com. We would love to have you and look inside the rooms and see if there's anything in there that you can take away. If something you want to learn watercolor, we have some watercolor tutorials on our Instagram. We also have some new stuff coming out this year. So I hope that you're stay tuned, and hopefully Liz will be joining me in the podcast in the living room very soon. And if you say, well, I'm not an artist, so I don't belong on there, we are going to be bringing in, I don't know if I've already told you this, but we're going to be bringing in some kitchen, into the kitchen. We're going to come bring in homemaking arts. We're going to try and bring back homemaking arts. I do believe that there is an art to it. All right. We love you guys. And, we'll be praying for you guys and pray that this touches you, and, be blessed. I'll see you next time.